The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am still with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Nor the word gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father. The Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
Sometimes I think I'm jinxed here. Many times the homily just disappears where it's going. They say, put it here, and I do, and it's gone. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. You ever think something seems to have gone wrong? We just need to turn on the news to be once more persuaded of that. We pray for peace, but we feel so powerless. Our prayers seem so futile. We keep on doing it without being quite sure why. Perhaps we feel it's all we can do. But reflecting on this issue of peace, perhaps we're not as powerless as we sometimes feel. Every time I come away from a gathering, whether it's of the extended family, friends or priests, and particularly people I do not know that well or don't seem very often, if I reflect on what we were talking about, I so often feel ashamed. Time after time, we finished up criticizing or condemning some individual or group of people. It could be the bishop or people in the church who think differently, or the government, or just opposing football teams, or the umpire, or foreigners or immigrants, anyone. Provided that it is someone or some group that is different from us. And why do we do it? I think it's because instinctively we know that if our attention is not focused on someone or some ones who are not part of the group at the moment, it wouldn't be long when we would be arguing with each other. We do it without consciously thinking to preserve the peace. And it works. We seem to need others who are different to get our sense of identity and unity. We need the sense of otherness of one who is somehow distinctive, the enemy, in order to feel comfortable together. And interestingly, the dynamic is the same whether we consider small groups or nations forming their coalitions. We experience the peace that the world gives. But it's a fragile peace, and it's hardly a truly satisfying peace. In its favor, it doesn't cost us much, and it does not require us, whatever about us, to change. But the peace of Christ is different. He offers a peace that respects individuality, a peace that is inclusive rather than exclusive, a peace that is not threatened by difference, does not need clear boundaries, and certainly does not need enemies. But there's a catch to it. We need to learn to love, which means in practice that at least we begin to accept difference and learn to be at ease with it, that we respect human dignity of everyone without exception, that we somehow acquire and practice the skills of listening, of resolving conflict, of compromising where necessary, and of learning to live without always getting our own way. Effectively, it means to grow up, to mature. And as we learn to love, the price of genuinely satisfying and lasting peace, then we will discover that we are not that powerless. Indeed, our maturing is indispensable if there is to be much chance of finding peace at the world level. The way of peace is Jesus' gift, and its realization begins with us. Peace be with you. And let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me.